Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Revelation chapter 12? Revelation chapter 12. Amen. And we'll look at verse 11. Today, I just want to briefly talk about weapons of mass destruction. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say oh me. Because we like to tarry one for another. It reads as followed: And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Amen. Amen. I ask your prayers today as well, because the enemy's trying to take my voice. He's been doing it all week, of course, but he is defeated. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just come asking, Lord, that we already know your presence is in this house, God. We felt your presence, God. God, Lord, we ask now for the anointing to fall on your word, oh God. Lord, anoint the ears to hear, and not just be hearers, but also doers of your holy and divine word. God, I ask right now, Lord, that you would come and quicken my mortal body, God. Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord. Lord, that I would not be seen, but only your Son seen through me, God. God, I ask right now, Father God, Lord, that I would not preach in my own intellect or my own understanding, but God, I would preach with the power and the demonstration of your Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask right now, God, Lord, that you have your way in this service, God. None of my way, but all of yours, Father God. Lord, we ask right now, mighty God, Lord, that you will bless this congregation, Father God, the Lord's house, the Lord's house fellowship, Lord, that you would bless them, Father God, and Lord, that you would multiply blessings and favor over this house today, God. And God, it's all in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because weapons of mass destruction, we hear a lot about it in the news, because we live in a time where that's what we hear all over the news. Every country has weapons of mass destruction. Different countries are invading other countries. But one thing about it, everything I learned, Pastor, that's in the natural, there's something in the spirit realm that's just as equal. Amen. That's just as relevant. It's just as powerful. Because you know what? We have an enemy just like we have an enemy out here in the natural that wants to seek and destroy us. We have an enemy in the spirit that's already defeated. Amen. But the sad thing about it, in the church, we don't know he's defeated. We don't act like he's defeated. We don't even act like we are victorious, or that we are the overcomers, in which John proceeds to here as he tells us that we are overcomers of him. Let's deal with him for just a moment. Him is Satan. Him is the world. Him is the one that Jesus Christ, when he did his finished work on the cross, he defeated him by his blood. Amen. He defeated him so that we might have life, and life more abundantly, so that we might have a right to the tree of life. Amen. Hallelujah. But one thing I understand this is that a weapon of mass destruction is one thing that is designed to destroy and obliterate everything that's around it. It ain't just meant to take out one person, Bishop. It's meant to take out a whole bunch of people. It is a weapon designed to really commit genocide. Wipe out a whole group, our whole country. It is made in such a way that when it's done, you know it was there. When it's over with, you know you were dealt with. When you have seen what a weapon of mass destruction can do, you understand the power thereof. So if there's a weapon of mass destruction in the natural, I want to submit to you today, congregation, there's weapons of mass destruction in the spiritual. And the number one thing is the blood of Jesus. It's one thing, Bishop, And it saddens me that there's a lot in the body of Christ who say they're in the body of Christ that want to begin to strip away the archery, the utilities that we have at our disposal. They want to take away the blood of Jesus. They want to take away the work of the cross. They want to get rid of what Christ came to do. But I'm here today to submit to you, church, if we take the blood off and the cross off, we might as well just pack our stuff up and go home. We might as well just give up and just go do something else. We might as well just throw in the towel and give up if we don't have the very thing that saved us. Because the blood's so important. God designed it from the very beginning of the Bible, all the way to the end of the Bible. We see the blood in Genesis, and we see the blood all the way through Revelation. That's how important the blood of Christ is to us. Because one thing I understand, that the Old Testament is a type and shadow of Christ. Everything that was done in the Old Testament is essential to who Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah is. It's essential to everything that we are in the body of Christ. And the saddens me that when we have such congregations such as the Emergent Church trying to take away the blood, they don't want to sing the songs of Zion anymore. They don't want to sing nothing but the blood of Jesus. They don't want to say, oh, power in the blood. They don't want to say nothing but the blood of Christ. But without that, we are naked and undone. Without the blood of Christ, we are setting ducks. Amen. Without the blood of Christ, we have no defense against an enemy. But I find hope in the word of God, Bishop, is this, that Isaiah, I believe it is, it tells us that when we look upon him, Satan, we're going to ask, is this the one that made nations tremble? Is this the one that made kings flee? Is this the one? When we see the enemy for who he really is, the Bible declares to us, we're going to look at him and say, he's the one that gave me so much trouble. He's the one that kept me in fear and in chaos. Is he the one that kept me locked in bondage? Is this the man that I let rule my life with fear? But, Pastor, one thing I learned, that the blood is not being preached anymore. The blood's not being applied to the doorpost anymore. We are not using the very things that God has given us. Paul the Apostle, he wrote most of his writings in a military style. Everything you see, he's telling you to put on the full armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. He's always conveying military strategies to us as the believer. Why is that, church? Because we are in a battle against an enemy that we got to know that's defeated. He was defeated at the cross. But you know what? He likes to lie to us and tell us he's not done. He's not defeated. It ain't over for him, but it was over when that first drop of blood fell off of Calvary's cross. It was done. It's time that we as the body of Christ begin to rise up and take our authority. Begin to rise up and move in the power and the weaponry that God has given us to be victorious and overcomers in the body of Christ. Because far too long I've seen too many of our brothers and sisters walking around looking defeated. I may be reading this wrong. I'm reading from the King James translation. But it says we have overcome. That applies, Bishop, that we are overcomers. Amen. First Peter tells us we've overcome the world, little children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you act like an overcomer? Do you look like an overcomer? Do you walk like you have victory? Do you really have victory in Jesus? I don't know if y'all sang that hymn, but I know that I have victory in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because one thing about it, Paul even goes on and says that we have, our weapons are not carnal, but powerful for pulling down everything that rises against the very knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So then, why do we walk around defeated? Why do we're not applying the weapons of mass destruction? Because you know what? God's given us the greatest thing there is. There's many weapons at our disposal, but we, in the church that day in, day by, and not deal with the enemy. Because one thing I learned in my life is you don't deal with the devil, he's going to deal with you. And in saying that, we got to learn to walk in the authority that God has given us, and that is through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Because, Bishop, if you go to Genesis chapter 4, we begin to see the first mention of blood. We have Cain and Abel, and Cain slays Abel. But here is the shadow and type of what Christ is doing for us even now. When he died and that blood fell to the ground, the Bible tells me that Abel's blood began to speak. Go back and read Genesis 4. I don't have time to get into every scripture, but go back and check it out for yourself. The blood of Abel begins to speak out of the ground, and as it speaks, it cries out for justice. It cries out to God to avenge what's been done wrong. How much more is the blood of Christ speaking on our behalf today? How much is it still crying out to the Father? How much is it still interceding for us? Because this is how important the blood is and how powerful it is that he even had to go on into Leviticus and tell us, don't any eat anything with blood in it. Because he said the life is in the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. There's life in the blood. We walk all the way through, even into the New Testament. Jesus Christ himself comes to the disciples before he had 120, I believe. Amen. Before the 12, and he began to tell them, this is my body, eat of it. This is my blood, drink of it. And he lost the biggest following he had because he began to speak about things that went deeper than they understood. Because when he began to speak about the blood, one thing I understand, because I was asked never to come back to a church because I preached on the blood. And they did it to Christ. Why should it shock us if we preach about the blood and the weaponry that we have in Jesus Christ? And here, Christ lost his following because he talked about the blood. But it's essential to us as believers. For the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Because one thing I learned, Pastor, and I love Genesis chapter 4, because it tells me that God did the work of redemption. Adam couldn't do nothing to save himself. Adam couldn't do nothing to redeem himself from the fall that him and Eve put on us. But you know what? I read that God slew a lamb in the beginning. Amen? Amen. And then he made clothes. Because you don't read anywhere where Adam sewed those together. I believe it was God, because it was God's redemption work. It was God, because it's amply said, because somebody would say, I found the Lord. I want to say, well, it's more amply said that the Lord found me. Because he's the one who pursued us. He's the one who runs after us. He's the one who wooed us to him. He is the one who's drawn us out of darkness and into the marvelous light. It is him that redeemed us. It's always been God who did the first work of redemption, drawing us to him, because there's nothing in me that could save me. Hallelujah. And even in the book of Exodus, we also begin to see when he begins to move in to rescue the people of Israel out of the 400 years of slavery that they were locked in. Because the plagues of Egypt, I love that last plague. Because it shows redemption. It shows how much our God loves us. Because to me, because every one of those plagues was against a God that the Egyptians worshipped. But when they begin to come to that last one, God tells Moses, go put blood on the doorpost. Amen. And put it on the lintels, and the death angel's going to pass by. It ain't going to come nigh your dwelling. It won't touch anybody that's under the blood. Hallelujah, church. Because this is the greatest thing that I see as a shadow and type in my life, and I apply it to my life every day. That's the blood of Christ. Because just as he told them there had to be a lamb in every house. Amen. See, everybody has to have a lamb in their house. Because we read in Revelation, we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And here Moses tells the people of Israel, go slay a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. Put it over the lintels. Begin to cover the door in the blood. And as they do that, we got to do that today. Amen. Amen. We don't have to go on the outside and actually do it on our doorpost. But we got to begin to do it on our hearts. We got to begin to put it over our mind. We got to begin to plead the blood of Jesus. Because one thing I know, the enemy likes to come and deal with our minds. Because one of the greatest things, because I know, Pastor, one of the other weapons that I'm going to talk about is praise. Because we don't praise God enough. Because one thing, God began to give me a sermon a while back in Habakkuk 3, verse 17, and it rocked my world. Because God was getting me ready for some trials that I was about to go through in my life. And in that moment, in that time in my frame of my life, at that season, I found myself, the question God asked me, can you praise me? And of course, I said yes. He said, no, can you really praise me? I said, yes, Lord. He said, can you really, really praise me? To be honest with you, I didn't know the answer until I went through what I went through. Because what it was, he said, do you have a yet praise? Because basically it just says, even though the fig tree don't bloom, and he goes on and goes through all these horrific things that Habakkuk and all the people of Israel were going through. He said, but yet will I praise the Lord of my God and my salvation. And just a few months after that, Bishop, I lost my third child. And I tell you, it threw me for a loop. And God came to me one night and he whispered in my heart and he said, can you praise me? I knew it wasn't the Lord who took her. But the question is, can we praise him in the midst of every storm we go through? Because of irregardless of how we feel or what we go through, he's worthy to receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. He is worthy no matter what comes our way. He is worthy because one thing God taught me through that time and that season in my life is that your praise will usher you into the miracle that you need. It will usher you out of the presence of the enemy and into the almighty arms of a loving God. When you begin to praise him, he will begin to deliver you out of all your troubles. Because one thing, praise, we sit so pretty in the church today, Bishop, because one thing, we don't praise God enough. And it's sad that most of us will only come in here on Sunday and praise him. It's sad to me that we will only come in here on Wednesday and praise the mighty name of Yahweh. It saddens me that we will not give him praise through the week. Is he not worthy to us? Are we too busy? Because one thing after that, another thing began to happen in this season. And every time I preached this, something else would happen. But he said, I want to see if you will praise me through all that you go through. Because after that, we had a suicide in the church. And it began to rip the congregation apart. And the enemy began to come in and begin to destroy the fellowship. Then after that, my wife begins acting up. And I'm just sitting here, Lord, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know how much more else I can take. But he said, will you praise me? I said, God, I praise you. I can understand. I know Job didn't get to read the book of Job, but I can understand why Job said, yet though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I know it ain't God, but I'm giving God the glory because I know that God is going to bring me out. If I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I know God's going to bring me out of it. I know God will deliver me out of all my troubles. One thing I learned that as my praise begin to grow and my praise begin to mature is this, that it is a weapon and the enemy hates it when you praise God because he loves to see us turn against God. He loves to see us curse God. He loves to see us turn away from the almighty creator of the universe. He loves to see us forsake worship because he knows that's what we were created for. He knows that we were created for an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. He knows that we were created to show forth the praises of him. but Bishop, it saddens me when I see people, they magnify the problem and minimize the God that has the answer of the problem. It saddens me when we see people walking in despair and misery because we have the blood. Because the enemy hates the blood so much. He hates your praise and he hates your prayer. Because prayer is another weapon that we have, and it's another weapon we don't use unless we're in trouble. Because if we took a survey of the body of Christ, I read one poll on one of the websites that I visit, and it said only one third of the church actually prays every day. And I think they polled about 2,000 believers from different denominations. And that saddens me because you know what? We should have a prayer life because y'all sung a song, just a little talk with Jesus. Just a little talk. Give them just a few minutes of every day. It only takes just a little bit to get God to move on your behalf. It's a sad thing when your relationship with God is only based on bad circumstances in your life. It's a bad thing when you can only praise the name when everything's going good or when everything's going bad and you forget his name when everything's good. We overlook how much power there is in prayer, because one thing I know, prayer changes things. Amen. Because you know, I don't mean to go in too much, but let me tell you, I want to let you know what God has brought out of my life through prayer. He's brought miracles into my life because you know what? The enemy came and polluted my wife's mind and she left me for another man for a little while. But the whole time I was in the empty house, I prayed every night. God deliver her mind, set her free, plead the blood of Jesus over her soul and over her spirit every night. And God delivered her, amen. Because God will and can do it. God is a faithful God. God is a delivering God. God is a just God. But you know what? I didn't wait until everything fell apart to begin to pray to him. I didn't wait until everything fell apart to praise him. When it did, I prayed even harder. When it did, I praised even harder. Because you know what? I understand, Bishop, when David came, when he got the ark back from Obed-Edom's house, and he came dancing back in to the city, and Michelle looked out the window and despised him. I understand what David meant when he said, I become even more undignified than this. You think I look crazy now? Just let me tell you what God's done for me. Just let me tell you how God set me free. Just let me tell you what God has ransomed me from. Hallelujah. I believe that's how we should be in the church. I believe that when God does something mighty, we should show some signs sometime. Amen. If I have a mouth, I'm going to sing hallelujah. If I have my hands, I'm going to wave. If I can't speak, I'm going to wave my hand. And if I don't have my hands, I'm going to stomp my feet. And if I don't have my feet, I'm going to nod my head. I'm going to do something to give God the praise and the glory. Because he is worthy in the house today. And then one of the most powerful weapons we have is the name of Jesus. That name that's above every name. That name that is the cornerstone of our faith. That name that is everything to us. That beautiful name of Jesus. At that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You may not confess it today, but one day you bow your knee and you will call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because his name is so powerful that everything is under earth is subject to it. Everything above the earth is subject to it. Everything below the earth is subject to that name. Amen. You want to see some enemies flee? Let's begin to quote the name of Jesus. Amen. There was a story I read. A woman was about to be raped in Chicago. And the only thing she could think of was Jesus. And she said, when she said the name of Jesus, that man began to take out running like he seen a ghost. Don't tell me there's no powerful in the name of Jesus. I don't know what that man seen. He may have seen an angel with a flaming sword. But she called on that name that was above every name. And it saved her life. That's how much power we have. And these are the weapons of mass destruction that we got to walk in and do daily. Because you know what? I have another sermon that I don't have time to go in. It does matter how you dress, Bishop. It does matter how you dress. Let me clarify this for you. Because you know what? I have a sermon called Whose Fruit of the Looms Are You Wearing? Because it's very important to know whose fruit of the looms you're wearing, because you know your mother was right. You don't want to be caught in the wrong set. Amen. Because you better begin to walk in the fruit of the Spirit every day. You better begin to dress up in the fruit of the Spirit. And then after you get dressed in the fruit of the Spirit, you need to put on the full armor of God. Because if you go out defenseless, because one thing about it, if we would put you out in Iraq right now like you are in the church, as you are in the army of the Lord, most of us would be killed within 3 minutes. If we walked out like we do into the house of God, like we walk out into the mission field every time we leave this store, most of us walk out naked. Yes, you can look all fine in your Sunday best, but you're naked. You're undone. You're not fulfilled. You haven't even begun to dress yourself in the very things that God's given us to prepare for the battle in. Because one thing I love about our God, if He calls you to do something, He's going to qualify you and He's going to justify you and He's going to equip you in everything you do. Because one thing I know, Pastor, is this: God's good. And He will provide, because He'll make a way out of no way. I can't tell you how many ways God's done it, because I was faithful in the small things. And God does all the rest. Because you know what? I've seen God do some mighty things. I've seen God do some miraculous things. Because let me tell you, I know God is a miracle worker. Because even at the age when I was born, I had one eardrum completely gone. The other eardrum completely dissolving away. The doctors told my parents by the age of 21, I'll be completely deaf. They better sign me up for sign language, because that's the only way that I'll be able to communicate the rest of my life. To make a long story short, after about 12 tube surgeries and then after 3 major reconstruction surgeries on my eardrums, there's hardly any eardrum left in this ear. I'm legally deaf in both ears, but praise the Lord, I can hear better. I got a hearing aid, but I don't wear it, because it's by the blood of Christ that I've been redeemed. It's by the blood of Christ that my body functions the way it's supposed to. Because one thing I do, I declare over my life every day, body, you're going to line up with the Word of God and function as the way God intended you to function today. Because it's important to plead the blood of Jesus over your house every day. I wouldn't leave my house without the blood. Amen. Because it's so important. The blood, it does so much. Because, Pastor, I got a vivid imagination. Amen. I got such a vivid imagination. I don't look at the crucifixion like everybody else looks at the crucifixion. When I see the crucifixion of my Lord and Savior, I can just imagine how horrific the Lord's suffering was for me. How dramatic it was for me. Because you know what? The pictures we put in our churches don't do what they did our Savior justice. Because you know what? They stripped Him down completely naked to humiliate Him. They beat Him that even His own mother Mary couldn't even recognize her son hanging on that cross, because He'd been beaten so much and so badly. But I see Him hanging on that cross, and I can just imagine, Pastor, I can just imagine, church, that when that blood fell, it was like an atomic bomb fell on the enemy's head, and it hit it into eternity past, and it hit all the way to eternity future and blew all the works of hell out of the way, begin to obliterate the stronghold over our lives. That's how powerful I see that blood of Christ, that it was an atomic bomb of time that dropped on the enemy, that set us free at that very moment before we even came into being. Hallelujah. That's how powerful the crucifixion is. That's how powerful that is. Then we have the resurrection is another weapon, because you know we walk in the same power that resurrected our Lord and Savior from the dead. We have that same resurrection power within us. Then why do we walk around defeated? Because I asked the church last week, would you follow you to church? would you follow you to church? You know what? I got some ugly looks in that church that day. Because sadly, the answer is most of us wouldn't want to follow us to church. Most of us wouldn't want to deal with us. Most of us, because we say we serve a risen Savior, we say we worship the true living God, we say that we have the God of the universe, then why don't we act like we have that power in us? Why do we walk down? Because one thing about it, church, these weapons are not just meant for our amusement. These are meant for the betterment of everybody around us. Because one thing about it, when we show the true living Savior living within us that saved us out of darkness, because I don't know about you, I wasn't always saved. Amen. I was a bad Methodist. I grew up Methodist. I was a terrible Methodist. Praise the Lord. Thank God I didn't die. Hallelujah. So I know what God's did for me. I know how God set me free. I know what God has redeemed me from. And I can say so because you know what? The Bible says we ought to say so. Amen. But I don't see no one wanting to jump up and say so anymore. They don't want to testify no more. They don't want to do it because there's two parts to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. The first part always falls on God. He did the most important part. He gave the most important weapon, the blood of Christ. But then he turns around and says, all right, church, it's your turn. And by your testimony. Because here it is. It's a twofold thing. Because you know what? God's done all he's going to do. Amen. He left the rest up to us to do. Because he's already did the finished work. It's finished. The enemy is defeated. He's supposed to be under our feet, but it's our job to remind him of his future. It's our job to remind him of his place. It's our job to walk victorious because, yes, we have bad days. Yes, we have terrible days. But you know what? It's a choice that we have to make to say, you know what? Yet, even though I'm going through everything seems to be falling apart, everything seems to be going south, even though everything is upside down right now, I know that my God is able. I know Romans 8:28 applies to my life, that this too is going to turn around for good. God's going to bring something good out of the mess I'm going through. God's going to bring glory to his name through what I'm going through. God's going to be justified in all that I do and say. I'm doing it for his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. If you turn to Acts 10. Acts 10, 38. Hallelujah. Because it's very important here, church, that you understand your part in this. Because like I asked you a while ago, would you follow yourself to church? Because Paul said it like this, follow me as I follow Christ. We are supposed to be leaders to those on the outside. We're supposed to be showing them the way to the truth. We're supposed to be leading them to the one that has the resurrection power to change their life. In Acts 10:38, here's Peter testifying and preaching. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jew and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto the witness chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people to testify that it is which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give him all prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them all which heard, and they that of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as was with Peter, because that of the Gentile also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here Peter was just testifying. He's saying it's our job to preach and to testify, because you know what? You're the only Bible someone's ever going to read. Most people are never going to pick up a book. No, hardly anyone's ever out there in the world just dying to see what Jesus wrote about. But they're looking. They're watching. They're seeing. Are you really an overcomer like you say you're an overcomer? Are you really victorious like you say you're victorious? Are you really blood-bought like you say you're blood-bought? Are you really spirit-filled like you say you're spirit-filled? They're looking. They're watching. Because I'm getting ready to close. I was working at North American Container, making wood crates, shooting a nail gun through a bunch of planks to make pallets. And in doing so, I hit a knot in one of the wood one day, and the nail shot into my finger. And I've been witnessing to this guy for a month. It hurt. It really hurt. But it shot in my finger after it hit the knot, and the guy looked at me. He was just waiting for something to come out of my mouth. He was just anticipating some beautiful letters that shouldn't be coming out of any believer's mouth, just flowing out of abundance. But he looked at me in amazement when I said, "Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus." But you know what? That guy got saved because he seen that I was really what I said I was, because he was just waiting, anticipating for the wrong thing to come out of my mouth, out of the wrong thing to come out. But you know what? The Bible says out of our bellies flow living waters. Because you know what? God gives us the right words at the right time to say. Don't worry about what you must say in the hour when you must say it. Because you know what? That's his job. Just live what you believe and walk what you say you believe. Amen. Because in doing that, you're going to show forth the greatest powerful weapon the enemy has ever seen. And that's something he can't deal with when you apply the weapons of mass destruction against him and his forces, because he is defeated. He's lost. Amen. And you got the victory. You got the weaponry to make it. You got the weaponry in your arsenal through the Bible. You got everything you need right here, because you know what? I believe every word of it. I'm not going to take nothing from it. I'm not going to add nothing to it. I'm just going to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and leave it at that, and let the cookies crumble where they need to. Amen. I'm just going to let God be God, because when he's being able to be God, he's greater than powerful than anything that we'll ever face in our life. In saying that, church, we got to learn to live what we preach. We got to live to learn what we say we believe. Because you know what? Through trial and error of my own life, through the mistakes of my own life, I know what it's like to be behind the pulpit and defeated. I know what it's like to be in the congregation defeated and helpless and powerless. But you know what? One thing God taught me is this. We are an overcomer. We got to remind ourselves sometime, because we are flesh. But we got to remind ourselves daily that we have the blood of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. We have our prayer language. We have our confession of the Word of God. We have everything we need for every circumstance and every situation. It's time that we live like we are victorious. It's time we begin to lay aside every heavy burden. It's time that we begin to take off that garment of heaviness and begin to put on the robe of praise. It's time that we trade in today, church, and show forth that we are the blood-bought, redeemed saints of God, that we are the body of Christ, and that we are justified not through our own means, but through his righteousness. That we need to begin to show it. Because you know what? That's one of my favorite scriptures. He's brought us out of darkness and brought us into that marvelous light. That shows some action there. That shows you need to show. That shows me some excitement. That tells me that when you come out of where you were, when you've been lost and undone, when you've been tangled up and tied up in sin so long, you don't even feel conviction for anything. But when Jesus grabs a hold of you and brings you out and sets you free and liberates you, you're free indeed. We need to walk like we're free in the body of Christ. We need to show it. We need to show God glory to everybody we meet. Because I take it seriously when it says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it for his glory. Because you know what? You don't know when we're entertaining angels. We don't know when we're dealing with somebody that's at the very moment desperately crying out to be saved. You don't know what the person sitting next to you is going through. I don't care how long you've known them. You don't know them. You don't know them. You can sleep beside them every night and not know them. But Jesus knows them. And you don't know how desperately they're crying out. Your neighbors are crying out. It's time that we live what we believe and use the weaponry God's given us, because when we begin to apply these principles to our life, your life will begin to change as an overcomer. Because you know what? I know what God can do. I know that these weapons work, because God came to me one day and said, you know why these things are happening? It's because you haven't took authority over the enemy. You haven't dealt with him. You've dealt with everything else, but you haven't dealt with him, because he's dealing with you. And when I begin to stand up and begin to reclaim my birthright as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, as I begin to stand up and decree and declare what God says about me, my life begins to change, Pastor. I can honestly say, I want people to look at me, because I want people to be like they were with John Wesley. I want them to see some fire, that they would see some life, that they would see some light, and that they would want to come and know this man named Jesus. So I want to ask you, in closing one more time, would you follow you to church? Or have you been beaten down so long that you're about to the edge of giving up? Are you about to give up? Because you know what? God's here to rescue you. God's here to redeem you. God's here to equip you. Because one thing I learned about the army, they train you. They tell you how to use the things they give you. It's time we in the body of Christ begin to tell people what they have at their disposal and how to use what they got at their disposal. Because when we do that, we'll see the victory in everything we do. Would y'all stand today? Hallelujah.